I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
And it felt good this weekend just to get football back, a little slice of normalcy in what's been a less than normal 2020. It was good hearing Sal Capaccio on the sideline of the radio call, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, on our radio.com sports sister station, WGR. Sal, good with us, time to join us now. Sal, before we talk about the game and look ahead to Sunday, what was that atmosphere like, or lack of atmosphere like? It had to have been a difficult kind of adjustment, and boy, it sounded on the air. I mean, you could hear it on Murph's call, like, quiet in Bills Stadium.
It was eerie. It was kind of weird watching the game with no fans. Now, obviously, I'm in that stadium for practices on Friday, pregame practices. They have it. Scrimmage, you know, they had one a few weeks ago, scrimmage, and it's the same thing, but this was two real teams and a real game going at it. And number one, the first thing I'll tell you is I just was heartbroken for fans not being able to be there, right? We know what a party every game is here at Orchard Park, and especially the home opener. It's such a community event, right? And people just are so passionate about their Bills. It really stunk not having that fan interaction and seeing people and knowing football is here. But then once you get into the game, it was eerie. I will tell you, though, the one, I guess you'd say, like, positive that came out of it was I could hear everything on the field between the players and coaches. It sounded to me, you guys know I lived in Florida for a while, it sounded to me like a really intense Florida high school football game with the coaches and the players and the way, you know, the game was being played out on the field.
It would sound, we could hear it on the radio, too, that I'm hearing audibles and everything. Is that, not just for the Bills, but is that a concern if when it comes to audibles and, you know, just the play calls that you got to change up the terminology week to week?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, they do that a lot anyway, but you're right. They will definitely have to do that a little bit more this year. Look, I remember times where players have said they've gotten that stuff from watching Hard Knocks. Like, they'll watch Hard Knocks, they'll get an audible a team uses during the show, and they'll refer to it and know it when they play them. So all of those things matter, but teams generally change it up anyway. I think they just have to be a little bit more aware of it this year, for sure.
Sal, how concerned are you about the injuries at linebacker for the Bills?
Not right now, not as much as I should be, I should say. I mean, it's concerning still, but not as much as I was a little more than 24 hours ago, and before we heard from Sean McDermott. You know, he said that as of he knew at that point, and you know, Sean's very guarded about telling anybody about injuries anyway, so for him to even offer this information, I think, was even more encouraging. But he said nothing seemed long-term with either Edmonds or Milano, and they were being treated day-to-day. So who knows? That doesn't mean that both are playing this week, but I think for that, to hear that is really encouraging, obviously.
We heard the reports that the Bills were bringing in defensive backs. I mean, do they have a spot right now that's open on the roster with the Josh Norman move? And if so, how might they fill that, Sal?
Excuse me. Yes, they do. sorry about that, guys. Yeah, they do have an open roster spot. What they did last week was they get two practice squad elevations for free every week, and then those guys go back to the practice squad. Well, they use those on Cam Lewis and Justin Zimmer, but they also put Josh Norman on IR. That's just a regular transaction, so his roster spot is open now. So we'll see. I mean, do they bring somebody else in? Do they get Cam Lewis again back up this week to elevate him and just play it? Because Norman's got to be out for 3 weeks. Who knows? He could be back in week four, and maybe they just play some roster gymnastics with those practice squad guys instead of signing somebody new to the active roster. But we'll see. But yes, right now they do have an open roster spot.
Sal, one of the things that I think, you know, and this sounds a little bit nitpicky given the way the Bills won the game, and it was never really as close as the score would have indicated, but we've been spending a lot of time in the last 24 to 48 hours after the game talking about Josh Allen and his running during the game and the ability that he's shown us with his legs over the course of his time with the Bills. I loved the game plan by Brian Daboll. I thought he called a brilliant game. I think the Jets' run defense is tough, and he found a way to gain yards
on the ground against them, and it included Josh Allen, and honestly, against Miami, who just gave up 75 yards and a couple of touchdowns to Cam Newton. Wouldn't you expect more of the same in week two?
I would, but you know, Josh obviously has to put the ball away and take care of it. Like, I don't care. I don't have any problem with Josh Allen running a lot. Like, if you're going to call 10 runs for Josh Allen, that's fine with me. You know why? Because he's really good at it. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I mean, I've made this argument all offseason, even before Sunday's game. You know, anytime I go on radio shows with guys like you, or especially around the country in different markets, I get asked all the time, should Josh Allen not run as much? I have a question, honestly. Does anybody ask that about Lamar Jackson? I mean, should anybody say he shouldn't run as much? No. You know why? Because he's really good at it. That's what you do. Josh Allen's good at running. It's part of your arsenal. It's a weapon that you use. He is one of the best red zone runners in the entire league statistically. I don't care if he runs that much. What I do care about, though, is him putting the ball on the ground. Now, sure, could you make an argument that he shouldn't be running up 21-0, you know, late in the second half? Absolutely. I think that's not a volume issue to me. You know, that's more of a pick your spots where you want to use the volume issue. I totally get that point. And I think that this week, judging from what I've seen, and I've been rewatching the Patriots-Dolphins game. I'm almost done with it. But for the most part, just hit it. I mean, Cam Newton, they couldn't stop him. He ran the read option 15 times, 75 yards, two TDs. You know, they were running quarterback sweeps with him. They were running some boots, things like that. But I think you're going to see more from Josh Allen. The only issue is he's got to take care of the ball. That's got to stop. That is not a Brian Daboll problem. If anybody's argument is they shouldn't run Josh Allen because he fumbles, then be mad at Josh Allen, not Brian Daboll.
So which is it more? Like, what percentage would you say? Is it rules of the road, knowing with Josh Allen, when it, you know, get down, slide, or don't take this chance, Josh? Or when you're looking, and Sal, you do have that background as a coach, is it a technique problem with Josh Allen and the way he cradles the football? What are your eyes telling you when it comes to that?
You know, I tell you what, it's a good question. I think it's more of a understanding space and technique, I guess you'd say. I lean more on the technique part. Now, look, he does have to get down more, but sometimes he can't. That's the thing. If he's running a quarterback sweep and he's got blockers in front of him, you know, the first fumble, I think he was actually trying to get down, but he got stripped from behind, if you remember, right? Somebody came over the top. It was Marcus May, and he stripped him from behind. So he's trying to get down. I think he's being smart. He did get out of bounds a lot. When he fumbles, it's because someone takes the ball away from him. What Josh Allen has to understand is, every single team in this league has a defensive coordinator telling their team every time they play the Buffalo Bills, get the ball from Josh Allen. He's going to give it to you. Go strip it. Punch it out. Go for the ball. There is a book on him now, and every single team that he plays in this league is going to go after the football. And for that, and because of that, it is technique. It is concentration. It is focus. It is understanding space and understanding how you have to cover up. They work on it every day. Guys, I'm out at practice. They do quarterback. The quarterbacks are in drills where they're doing ball security. They do what they call the gauntlet for the running backs. The quarterbacks go through it too, where you run through a line, the guy's trying to hammer the ball out. They do all that stuff. But Josh has to understand that he has to tuck it closer to his body and hold on tighter.
I like, Sal, that we can get the 300-yard passing game monkey off of Josh Allen's back. I think that's a pretty standard benchmark now in a modern NFL. I like, like I said earlier, the game that Daboll called, and I don't know that they're going to plan to have Josh Allen throw 46 times a game, but when you have Diggs and Brown and Beasley playing the way that they played on Sunday, why not?
No doubt. Look, I mean, I think part of this, though, too, is let's, you know, go back to, this is an entire vision. This is what the Bills have been kind of building for a few years. This is the building of a roster that's led to this point, which is, I think, you know, you go into last offseason, they go out, they get John Brown, they get Cole Beasley. Their plan was, we need to be able to throw more. We're building this franchise quarterback. Why did we draft Josh Allen in the first round? Because he's a franchise quarterback. We want him to be. So you don't have your franchise quarterback turn into a game manager. Now, if that's what it calls to win the game, you do it. But overall, philosophy for the organization, you're trying to build towards having this guy that you give him enough parts that you say, okay, now go out and do it, and we can throw 45 times a game, and you can help us win the game. So that's why they go out and get Stephon Diggs. You trade what you do for Stephon Diggs because you have a plan to make sure you do that. It does no good to trade what they did for Stephon Diggs if they go out there on Sunday and throw the ball 25 times. You have to throw the ball a lot to use the asset that you gave up a bunch, not because you're justifying the asset, but because you had that vision for the asset.
Sal Capaccio, WGR in Buffalo. You hear his reports during the Buffalo Bills games here as getting ready for the Dolphins here on Sunday. Are we allowed to talk about Cody Ford at right guard, Sal? I guess they put out
Yeah, now you can.
Yeah, now we can. I mean, I guess that was the one thing they wanted a secret. Guard over tackle for Cody Ford. Your thoughts on the move here and how, you know, maybe now Williams, a tackle there for Buffalo, will be working out as well.
Well, I think it's twofold, obviously. Number one, Cody last year struggled with speed rushers on the edge. He's probably more built to play guard in the NFL. I think he could play tackle. I don't know if he'd be as successful, you know, on a play-to-play, game-to-game basis. I think he'd be more successful at guard, and that's why the Bills put him there. You know, maybe he does play tackle at some point again in his career, even this year. Who knows? But I think that he's more suited to play guard right now, at least at this stage of his career. The other part of it is they did sign Darrell Williams. It was a Pro Bowl, an all-pro right tackle just a few years ago. Then he had an injury, missed basically a whole season. You know, the Bills bring him over, and he can play inside, he can play outside. But remember, he was in Carolina when Brandon Bean was there, and when Sean McDermott was there. You know, they know that this guy can play right tackle. When he's healthy, he's really good. So I think, you know, getting, if you're going to talk about getting the best five on the field, I think this is the way it has to play out, which is Ford at guard and Williams at tackle. Because if Ford plays tackle, sure, you could put Brian Winters at guard. You could even put Williams at guard, Darrell Williams at guard, but that's not his best position. So I think this is the way it best works for the offense team.
Any concern that the best five weren't able to open bigger holes for Moss or for Singletary? What are we thinking about the Bills' backfield?
Yeah, I do think it's something they have to work on this week. Now, they were facing a good Jets run defense. We know that from last year. They're one of the best run defenses in the league. I think that's why you saw Josh Allen run so much this week. I don't know now what we just said and what you just pointed out about Cam Newton is right, but I also tell you that the Dolphins just had some problems against the run overall last week. They gave up over 200 yards. 75 of it was to Cam. The rest of it was to running backs or a receiver on an end around or whatever. I think maybe this week the Bills will have more success in between the tackles, running the football, handing it off, but they do have to be better at that. They just weren't. Now, again, one game against a good stout run defense, so we'll see where it goes, but I'd like to see, obviously, better numbers from the running backs.
Sal, the other thing to come out of the Jets game was the kicker, Tyler Bass, missing two field goals. I mean, gosh, I just feel it's so bad for the, you know, because one of them, maybe it would have been good, and maybe that's in his head, but what do we know about Tyler Bass and as far as the mental part of the game? Because to me, that we'll find out really quick here, because whatever happened week one, you got to forget about it.
Yeah, you have to, right? Kickers have to be like cornerbacks in that regard. You make a bad play, something happens, you get beat. You got to forget about it. You know, it's not the first time he's missed a kick in his career, but certainly not the way you want to start your NFL career, missing your first two field goal attempts. I think the good news is he did make three extra points, and he did make two other field goals. So, you know, on the day, he was 5 of 7. Not saying that's a great, you know, thing, but he put 5 through the uprights, which is nice for him to feel and visualize. And I'll tell you what, guys, I give Sean McDermott credit, too, for at the later in the game, it was 4th and goal from the 2. Josh Allen's like, let's go for it, go for it. They have the offense out. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to go for it. McDermott, you know, sees the Jets team, has them use their timeout, but then he trots the kicker out there, and maybe some people were upset that they didn't put more points on the board, but I think that's designed, to me, to make sure that kid gets another kick under his belt so he can feel better about himself, because you do have to think about that. And, you know, McDermott was asked yesterday that they're going to support him, and, you know, he's going to go into this week, and he's going to work on what he has to work on. Guys, they're not going to move away from Tyler Bass after they use a draft pick on him, and he beats out Stephen Hauschka during the training camp. Unless things really, really go south quickly here, they'll work through this as much as they can with him.
Sal, we talked to Armando Salguero from South Florida just last hour, and boy, he did not paint a rosy picture for the Dolphins after 1 week of play in the NFL. What about Miami makes you nervous going into Sunday?
By the way, Armando's great, isn't he?
The best.
Great. I love Armando. Got to chat with him a few times at some games or events, and he's great on the air too, so good for you guys to have him on. But what concerns me is that they do have a much better secondary, and especially corners who can match up against the Bills. The Jets were very weak on their corners. Marcus May is a good player in their secondary. They have a young safety group that's pretty good, but especially on the corners. And you know, the Bills took advantage of that last week. They really used, obviously, John Brown and Stephon Diggs to take advantage, even Gabriel Davis, you know. But I think this week's going to be a little bit different. This week, to me, guys, it's funny. I was just thinking about this a little while ago. This week might be the exact opposite of last week, which is last week against the Jets, you had this really good interior run defense, but you had a secondary, especially on the outside, that you could take advantage of. This week, it's the complete opposite, where I think you have a secondary on the outside that's going to give you all you can handle, and then you have an interior run defense that you can probably take advantage of.
Heading down to Miami. Now, Sal, you and Murph and Tasker, you guys are back, correct? You're not going down the road.
Yeah, we won't. We won't be there. We'll be here in Buffalo. In Orchard Park, we'll be in the home radio booth, calling the game that way.
Yeah, so do we have any idea what the team is going, how things might change, or do they change at all? Like, what is it like for the Buffalo Bills, a professional sports team, to be traveling here in a pandemic?
Well, I don't have, their schedules, I'm not going, but I will tell you that it probably doesn't look any different than what it has, except there's just less people, and the restrictions are more, which is, They'll go out there on Saturday evening like normal. Usually team flies out Saturday afternoon for a road game, gets there by dinner time on Saturday. No matter where you're going, usually land in that city around dinner time. And then from there, they just have meetings. They have dinner. And then, like I said, they have dinner, they have meetings, go to bed, get up the next morning, get on a bus, go to the game. As soon as the game's over, you get on a bus, go to the airport, you come back. I think the only difference here is you're not going to be able to leave the hotel. The memos basically have gone out around the league saying once you land, you get on that bus. Bus actually has restrictions as far as seating, even like how many spaces on each bus. And then you get to the hotel and you can't leave the hotel. You cannot have visitors into your room. Those things are a little bit different. Now, not that people are just doing whatever they want. They're not. People are always amazed when I tell them, guys, that like these are very structured trips or business trips. They have a lot of meetings. They have an offensive meeting, a defensive meeting. They have everything. They're getting ready for a game. But even in this scenario, it's even a little bit more because usually they could at least meet some family or friends to go out for about an hour or so, and that obviously can't happen.
Sal, we look forward to the call on Sunday, and we look forward to your updates throughout the week here as we prepare for the Bills in Miami. Thanks for the time as always, bud.
You bet, guys. Anytime. You know that.
Sal Capaccio. You can hear him on our radio.com sports sister station WGR in Buffalo, and of course on the call starting at 9 a.m. pregame Sunday here on ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, it seems like this should be a game that Buffalo should win. After talking to Sal and hearing Armando earlier, there's a Dolphin team that has some flaws. There's a Bills team that certainly wasn't perfect in week one, but that's just enough to keep them motivated and working here throughout the week. So, yes, Bills fans, you should feel pretty good heading into this game down in Miami on Sunday.
All right, let's get to some other news and notes from around the NFL. I mean, it's a quiet Tuesday in the NFL, right? A lot of teams don't have practice today, so we've got a couple of notes and recap from last night's action as well, some injuries to update you as well. And you know what? If we're going to do NFL appetizers, well, we'll give you some hot kicker talk as well.
There's another story that's breaking right now, Dave.
We have a breaking story.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. NFL appetizers, news and notes from around the NFL. It's on the way next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.